Today is Saturday, April 22nd, 2017, and we are here in Storvik's apartment. And I am Ruth Storvik, and I'm here with Ray Womack, thanking him for coming today and sharing his story with us. So, Ray, I'd like to start with some biographical information, telling us where you were born and you grew up, and any stories about your parents or ancestors. And I'll let you go ahead and...
Well, I was born in El Centro, California in 1935. And my parents both came from West Texas, dry farmers, large families. And my dad was a twin. Their oldest brother was 5 years older, and he moved to Imperial Valley and opened up a farm trucking repair shop. And if you can imagine, the trucks in those days were pretty rough. My dad then came out and started to work for him, and my uncles, his brother, sent him to auto mechanic school in Los Angeles in 1918. And he came back. He was being drafted into World War One, and when he got to Los Angeles, the war ended, and they put him back on the train and sent him home. So I was... And then from that point on, they sold Model T cars to Mexico from a little town called Heber, which was about 6 or 9 miles from the Mexicali, which was the seat of the governor of Baja. And there was an agency in El Centro that didn't like him selling those cars to Mexico, so Ford in Detroit jerked his license. And so they sold out, moved to El Centro, and then there was a guy there that had a whole bunch of dealerships from General Motors, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Chevrolet, Cadillac, and that guy sold Chevrolet and Cadillac to my uncle, and from that point on, my dad worked for him till the end.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had two older brothers and one younger sister.
Okay. Did you work in California before you came to Alaska?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was anywhere from mowing lawns when I was a kid to busting tires at Firestone to working at a drugstore. Peddling newspapers, working for the fire department. They sponsored the Boy Scouts. I joined the Boy Scouts, and they were all World War II veterans. And they were like big brothers. I learned a lot from them. Then when I got married the first time, and I couldn't get a job in San Diego very fast, I wound up going back and applying for to be a fireman with San Diego City in 1961.
How long were you a fireman?
14 years.
What year did you come to Alaska?
74. Yeah.
So what brought you to Alaska?
Mainly when the fire department struck while a friend and I were on backpacking trip in the Sierras, and Reagan was governor, and it was against the law for safety officers of any kind, policemen or firemen, to strike. And they struck, and we came back and walked right into it. I went to work. They came around, circled the fire station, and talked me off the job. Fear for my life, I guess.
Wow.
But anyway, when I went to a meeting the next day, they were talking about, if you get arrested and thrown in jail, do this and that. And I said to myself, I'm going back to work. And I went back to work. And from that point on, when the strike ended, and thank goodness the fire chief and the and Governor Reagan were not, he wasn't pressured to, at that point. Anyway, we got our jobs back, and but the hostility was there. And that's the main reason why I quit down the line. I went to a packing school in Montana to be a packer, and that was in 73, and then I was kind of come up here and be a guide. And my brother-in-law talked me into getting a job with Bechtel, and that's a good thing he did, too. Because a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
On the pipeline.
Pipeline, yeah.
What's a packing job? What
packing? Mules, horses.
I see. Yeah. Okay. For guiding.
Guiding, okay. Yeah.
Thank you. So what did you... You worked for Bechtel?
Worked for Bechtel for the first 2 years, and then transferred over to Alyeska for the balance. And it was less than 4 years total. And after that was over with, I went to work for Amfac Electric. Various jobs, bouncing around the place, and wound up at DOT. Yeah, I was at Sampson Hardware, and then I went to DOT. They offered me a job, and the politics at Sampson Hardware was getting kind of heavy, and they were mad at me because I got hired by the new owner, which was Jakovich. And so politics was entering into the picture. So I got offered a job to work at DOT. They interviewed me on a Friday, and then they said, can you come to work on Monday? And I says, yes. I took it, and I wrote a letter and said, normally you give 2 weeks notice that you're leaving or resigning or whatever. And I says, but due to the circumstances, they need me now, so... Bye.
Now you and Claire, then Claire was your second wife.
Yeah.
And you married in 1970.
August the 28th, 1970. Yeah.
So she. So married I was in California.
In California, and let's see. Trying to get that date straight. Okay. We had a hunting trip planned, a friend of mine and I, in British Columbia. So we took Claire and took her up to her sister's in Seattle area and dropped her off. And my friend and I went on to British Columbia and went moose hunting.
Oh. So you were married to Claire for almost 33 years?
70 to, yeah.
Until she died in 2013.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, 70, 80, 90, 2010, Yeah, it was almost 40 years.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about ending up out in Two Rivers. How did that come to happen?
We wanted to live in the, have back to the earth type thing. And one of the ladies that where I worked at Bechtel bought a piece of property out there, and she told me about it, and we went out and looked, and there was other acreage.
Grange Hall Road.
Grange Hall Road. And that was it was just a sequence of events that led on down the line. And that's how we wound up out there.
But you just brought property, and then you did your own, you built out there.
Yeah, I had help. I had an unemployed carpenter help me with the basement. And Ed Anders was an excavator out there. He dug our basement, did our septic system. And me and another friend put the well in. It was a driven well. Later replaced by a submersible well. But yeah, it was quite an experience.
Yeah. So, what would you say your fondest memories are?
I would say Claire, she was raised a Catholic. I was raised in a Methodist church. And she introduced me to Science of Mind, Emmett Fox. And I think our relationship was the most important one.
Beautiful. So how did you happen to come to Raven Landing?
Wendy Wiedner, her earlier married name was Weberstock, and her husband died of cancer, lung cancer. And she married this guy named Jim Wiedner. And she saw my situation, and she wanted to buy the place, but winter was coming, so I had to make a decision to vacate, and she helped me get into here.
Great.
She knew Patricia
Murphy
when she was had something to do with the hospital.
Oh.
Sometime back. Yeah, the one with the dog, little dog.
Patricia Murphy, I think, yeah. With the red hair.
Yeah.
Yes, she lives right above you.
Yeah.
Yes. Good.
Between the dog and the chimes.
You know somebody's up there.
Yeah.
Yes. Good. So, other than the dog and the chimes, tell us a little bit about your experience here at Raven Landing.
Well, so far I'm still adjusting to my environment. I'm not used to being confined, and I always had that. I had 6.3 acres around me, and built the place, had the birds and the animals, and so just like today, I went for a drive, and went by and saw the birds, and the cranes are, no, the cranes weren't in, but the swans have gone, moved over somewhere. There's a lot of mallard ducks, and the Canadian geese are in.
You're really an outdoor person.
Yeah. Well, they're entertaining.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Was there anything else that you'd like to add?
My discovering that when I was in college, I took a course in salesmanship, and one of the required readings was Vance Packard's books on hidden persuaders and status seekers. And this was in the late 50s. And that was discovering that we have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind, and they're constantly trying to penetrate your conscious mind and get into your subconscious mind and plant the seeds. That's what I learned.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Raven Landing thanks you very much. And
well, I hope whatever I had to say was useful to somebody.
I think it was very interesting. Thank you very much, Ray.